Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, what do you want to talk about in Plentywood? What do you want to talk about in Lewistown? What do you want to talk about in Glendive? Or what are you already talking about? What did you hear about on your local radio station already this morning that stood out to you? Give us a call. We've got the phone lines open for you right here with Montana Talks. Plus, we've got John Jackson, the Joker from X, sidekicking with us here on this Tuesday morning as well. In fact, let's start with one of your phone calls. We've got Tamara in Billings already on the phone lines. Tamara, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in on this Tuesday. Did we lose you? Are you there, Tamara? Okay, all this, I'm not hearing Tamara. All right, I just checked in with Tamara just before the break there. All right, well, Tamara, give us a call back in case we lost you. John Jackson's there. Okay, John, you get a start instead. I was trying to do ladies first here, but here you go. Or I'll just say ladies first and then go right to you, John, instead.
Well, good morning. You and I have on deck a couple of these immigration stories. I can start with either one of them.
Yeah, you start wherever you want to go. I definitely want to get to this Minnesota Somalia story for sure.
Well, and all those run right together, obviously. But the thing I think a lot of people have missed is this. I've seen this in different numbers and in different studies, but I just saw a recent one that confirms all of this from the American Enterprise Institute, in that they are showing the net numbers, not only from the United States, but from Europe, is that immigrants, in big quotes, whether they be legal or illegal, are an overall net negative to your country, to your population. Even going into the second generation of these people, they are still net receivers of state welfare. In other words, they are adding nothing to your society. They are taking away, not just in dollars, but obviously in crime and everything else. Everybody needs to know the truth of it.
Well, and this is a sad development if these numbers are accurate, because historically your legal immigrants have come to America to work hard, to provide for themselves, to have opportunity, and then to capitalize on that opportunity and to build wealth, not to just come and take away from the wealth of the people that are already living here, right?
Yes, and see, the difference is, Aaron, is see, those days are when we actually vetted those legal immigrants and had some kind of standard for them. Now, recently with the Biden regime, they are intentionally importing the scum of the third world who come here to do nothing but take from our societies.
All right, John Jackson, the Joker from X in the house. Agree, disagree, got something you want to talk about? Give us a call, 406-294-0970, or you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app. I want to talk about this Somalia story right after this.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right, back to it here with John Jackson, the Joker from X, taking your phone calls as well here. Yeah, Tamara in Billings, definitely call back in. Tried to go to you there just a few minutes ago, but call back in, and we'll definitely get you on the show here this morning. We can always figure out some creative ways as well. So, John, yeah, this, before I start sharing some of the numbers that stood out to me, tell our listeners what you've been tracking out of Minnesota regarding the Somali community there, and straight up fraud by the hundreds of millions of dollars, by the way.
Yeah, it's actually into the billions, and it's been going on since 2018, and it's just the most despicable thing you can imagine, Aaron. These people were defrauding Medicare by claiming they had autistic children, and getting that money, that's money that could have been going to actual autistic children, getting that money and then shipping it back home to Somalia to the Al-Shabaab terror network. I mean, it's right out of a movie. You can't hardly make this stuff up. Now, I know it does shock you that Somalis and Africans in general would be involved in some kind of financial fraud. But yes, you know, shockingly enough, that they are doing it. But what everybody has to understand is that on the worldwide scale of societies, Somalians rank second only to Palestinians as the worst people in the world. And we should never have been in the business of letting any of them come over to our country.
Not all of them, of course, but when it comes to this report, look at Minnesota. Look at Minnesota politics in particular, and Ilhan Omar. I mean, this is insane, but Benny Johnson shared these numbers on X just a few days ago, and he was quoting it straight from a City Journal report. Focusing in on this here, he said this: Minnesota's Somali community has been caught funneling taxpayer dollars to the terrorist group Al-Shabaab overseas by falsely diagnosing children with autism through Medicaid. He says, look at the insane spike in claims. In 2018, there was $3 million in autism claims through Medicaid in Minnesota. By 2023, $399 million. That's just for autism claims through Medicaid. Within the same time period, autism centers skyrocketed from 41 to 328, with many of them being in Somali communities. That was from Benny Johnson's post on X. But, John, the other thing that I read about this is that what they would do is these autism centers would get a whole pile of cash from the federal government, and then they would give monthly payments to the people that were coming to their autism centers. So basically they said, hey, enroll your kid in our autism center and we'll pay you sometimes more than $1,000 a month, because then they would get more cash from the federal government.
We have been screaming this. I went back on our podcast here, and we've been screaming this for a year, November of 2024, that just after President Trump was elected, we said the number one, other than the illegals, the number one mission of the Trump administration was to uncover and investigate every bit of our tax money out there that's being defrauded by not only Democrat politicians, but their voters. If you could get into that NGO and fraud network out there, you could topple the entire Democrat infrastructure. And to date, we haven't seen a single major case made on it.
You know, it is very interesting. On a bright side note, though, Vice President J.D. Vance pointed out back on November 21st that we are seeing a massive decrease in net migration in our country. What we are doing is working. Donald Trump Jr. said this is what happens when you secure the border, bring illegal immigration to a halt, and put American citizens first. America's foreign-born population drops by 2.3 million so far under President Trump. And we're seeing wage gains outpacing inflation now in the latest jobs report, and that's going to American workers. But back to Minnesota, President Donald Trump said this. He says Minnesota, under Governor Waltz, is a hub of fraudulent money laundering activity. I am, as President of the United States, hereby terminating, effective immediately, the TPS program, the temporary protected status for Somalis in Minnesota. Somali gangs are terrorizing the people of that great state, and billions of dollars are missing. Send them back to where they came from. It's over, President DJT.
Yeah, and you know where that came from, Aaron? That was Friday night on Laura Ingraham's show. She had two guests on that exposed this whole thing. I was watching it. And I kid you not, less than 2 hours later, President Trump put out that Truth Social post. He was watching Laura Ingraham's show. And apparently there's only about 700 of these Somalis that are over there that are still on the TPS. The rest of them have been naturalized. But apparently there's also about 4,300 of them in the pipeline that have applied to the come over on TPS. So hopefully that'll be a net 5,000 that we make sure do not settle here.
I was going to say, I think, was that Chris Rufo with the Manhattan Institute who was on with Laura? I think he's the one who broke this whole story. That immediately led to action. Okay, great, because I think I actually have a soundbite from Chris Rufo here. Okay, great. Hold that thought. John Jackson, the Joker from X. We'll jump right back into it coming up here right after this break. I see we also got some messages coming in on the Montana Talks app as well. If you want to jump in on the conversation, let's see. In fact, one from Fred in the Flathead just came in talking about California, university tuition, illegal aliens, and more. Stand by.
Just how
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Okay, back to it here with John Jackson, the Joker from X. Yeah, I'm glad that John reminded me who it was who broke this story, because it's always important to give credit where credit's due. I mentioned the Trump True Social post. I mentioned Benny Johnson highlighting this story on X. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Chris Rufo with the Manhattan Institute. He was on with Laura Ingraham Friday night. In fact, I had this soundbite ready to roll on the show yesterday. We never ended up getting to this topic. We had our great filibuster debate and so much more. But here it is. Here's Chris Rufo from Laura Ingraham's show.
It's just the scale. I mean, this is unprecedented. It's in a massive amount of money. And what I think has to happen now is that the president, the secretary of state, have to take a tough look at the temporary protected status or TPS program. You have a lot of these Somalis have come in on this program, and instead of being grateful for the opportunities that they have in the United States, they're ripping off taxpayers, taking money away from kids with autism, kids with other disabilities, and then sending it abroad to fund, in some cases, acts of terrorism. The president can shut this down tomorrow by revoking the TPS status for the Somali community in Minnesota. And let me be clear, if you are not a United States citizen and you're involved in ripping off taxpayers, you should be in jail or gone tomorrow. I think we've experimented with mass Somali immigration.
It's a disaster.
It's failed. It doesn't work. It's time for them to go home.
All right, there you go, John. He said that Friday night, and President of the United States shortly after that typed up a quick little message on social media.
And the other guest, Laura Ingraham, was basically, well, I guess what you would call the Aaron Flint of Minneapolis. He's a local conservative talk radio host who was on there with Laura Ingraham. The two of them broke that story, which President Trump then acted on.
The Aaron Flint of Minneapolis. So he's got a horrible radio voice. He doesn't look good on TV.
I saw you doing your Zoolander thing there on TV the other day, man. Is that, you know, where you're sitting there, what you do, you know, that TV your parents, you were doing the cold blue steel.
You got to do blue steel. That's right. That's why I love radio. It's like, I'm like, oh man, why am I doing a TV appearance? Oh, radio is so much better than TV. You don't have to worry, you know, about any of this stuff. You just talk about, you know, the news of the day. I was on with Todd Starnes on Newsmax on Friday. So did you watch the clip then? I thought that there was going to be a little bit more of a back and forth. It's funny because, you know, you go into a TV interview like Newsmax and you're like, well, I'm going to talk about blank. But first, I'm going to say something else. You never get to the thing that you actually went in to talk about because you said your one thing. It's like, all right, see you guys later.
Well, I mean, because I'd never seen you in an actual formal jacket, the first thing I thought when you're sitting down there is, I bet he's not wearing any pants. I bet he just put that jacket on.
Well, so what was funny was, so I tweeted out this photo of me on Newsmax. Hey, it was great to join Todd Starnes on Newsmax. And then you said something to that effect. Are you even wearing pants in that TV interview? And then I had to reply with a Chris Farley meme, you know. And no joke, almost simultaneously, my wife Jessica also replied with a Chris Farley meme from Saturday Night Live. So there you go.
Hey, like minds.
All right. Now I'm like, what were we even going to talk about next here on the show? What do you want to talk about next?
Well, also funneling right into that, the whole illegal immigration thing, starting, it was breaking this morning, is that the Trump administration has now issued new orders through the USCIS, and that's the United States Citizen and Immigration Services, in which they are mandating mass re-interviews of every in big quotes, refugee that the Biden regime led in here for their entire 4 years. And they are also putting a freeze on all new green card applications.
Yeah, very interesting. Hey, quick sidebar for some of our listeners out there. I'm looking at our this is inside baseball to a certain extent. Our VPN system that our phone line system operates off of, apparently the VPN is down right now. So just a heads up, a temporary pause. We have temporary unprotected status for our phone lines. So hold your phone calls for just a few minutes. I'll let you know when we get our VPN back up and running here so that we can take your phone calls. But John, speaking of VPN, another random story here. So X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, apparently they, and you've got a big following, you've got over 100,000 followers on X, apparently they made some changes where you can see which countries people are tweeting from, and it's exposed a whole bunch of fake accounts that were being operated overseas. But you and I were talking during the break. I partly wondered, okay, are these actual overseas accounts, you know, people pretending to be Americans to interfere in our elections or in the political, dialogue? Or are these people that are using a VPN? Because if you use a VPN to protect your computer and your communications, sometimes you can basically make it look like you're actually located in another country.
Yeah, and Elon's system, the system running out of Twitter, can detect whether or not you are using a VPN. And they'll put up that disclaimer, this is the system has detected that this user is likely using a VPN. But see, they caught, it took like 48 hours, and they caught so many of these people. Literally, like we were talking about with you, they caught them with their pants down, and these were big influence, in big quotes, influencer accounts that were always running these different kind of narratives all over social media, trying to influence people. And it turns out they're not even, they're all over the place. You're talking about India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. They're all foreigners that were pretending to be American citizens involved in American politics.
Hey, that reminds me, we had the message that came in on our Montana Talks app from Fred in the Flathead. Yeah, you can send us messages on the app. Fred says this, maybe you guys talked about it. The Trump administration is suing California over university tuition. Immigrant dreamers pay as little as $700 a semester, while out-of-state students pay close to $6,000. Apparently, it's illegal to charge U.S. citizens more, but even out-of-state students pay. The last part of the message didn't really make too much sense. But bottom line, yeah, your take on the immigrant dreamers paying basically nothing for college tuition, but yet they'll hammer American students.
Well, what you saw happen completely and utterly under the Biden regime was there was no longer any pretense or even any covert nature to the fact that the government of the United States, the federal government, along with every blue state government in this country, had absolutely flipped their entire welfare state to favor all of the illegals coming in here. These people were not only shipped in here on our dime, we paid to get them here, but then they're immediately put on every kind of welfare and support service that there is. Ladies and gentlemen, all of this was done on your dime to the tune of in the trillions of dollars to bring in the scum of the third world over here to take your hard-earned money.
Yeah, I was just thinking, because so many different stories that we can cover here this morning, but I was also just thinking, John, I didn't get a chance to hear your take yet on the Trump-Mamdani Oval Office meeting, the commie Mamdani, the mayor-elect of New York City, because what New York City has showed us is, look, as I've traveled across Montana and taken phone calls from people all across Montana, we have some incredible legal immigrants. Legal. They came here the right way. They did it the right way. They came here to work and to build their own wealth and to be able to enjoy the American dream, not to just become dependent on the government, right? It's so many incredible legal immigrants that escaped communism and so many other places. But what Mamdani has shown is, like you say, the abuses of our immigration system now, to where even some of the people that are brought into this country legally are importing people that have anti-American views. And now the foreign-born population in New York has propelled the commie Mamdani into the mayor's office. But what was your take on the Trump-Mamdani Oval Office meeting? I thought it was a masterful job by President Trump. But what do you think?
I did, too. And you notice what they did. Of course, the commie Mamdani, he had to come to Trump. He had to make the pilgrimage down to D.C. and go to the White House. And they didn't make the same mistake they made with Zelensky. They had the backroom meeting with him first to make sure that they had a housebroken dog. And then that, once they knew he was housebroken and wasn't going to pee on the carpet, then they took him out and had, and you saw President Trump sitting at the desk with Mamdani standing beside him like an employee, like he does with all his employees, with his hands clasped in front of him like a manservant. They had a housebroken dog. And I think Trump sees that. And he thinks, okay, this is a guy I can work with. Okay. Now, we all know Mamdani is a slick con man. That, yeah. 100% he's a con man, a communist, an Islamist. But Trump sees right now that maybe we can do some business with this guy. Now, will this fall apart in a couple of weeks, a month? Probably. I'd give that a probably 70% chance that it will. But for right now, he had a housebroken dog.
Well, I also think that, look, the American people expect you to say, look, I may not agree with this guy. I may not agree with the results of the November elections. But, hey, I'm here to work with him. I want to help New York City. I want to do what's best for New York City. I'm willing to work with the guy, even though he said some horrible things about me. But then you're right. When the inevitability happens and when Mamdani delivers the radical far-left agenda that his base is going to demand that he delivers upon, and it all starts to unravel and it all starts to fall apart, that's when Trump can say, look, we try to work with the guy and do what's best for New York City, but very clearly look what they are doing and look at, and so that's when it then feeds into the midterm elections. But the American people expect you to at least try to work together and do what's best for the city.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
First cattle on feed report is out since the government shut down, and USDA reports 11.7 million head of cattle on feed as of November 1st, 2% below last year. October placements totaled 2.04 million head, down 10%, and the lowest October on record since the series began in 1996. Marketings of cattle hit 1.7 million head, down 8%, while other disappearance totaled 54,000 head. Undoubtedly a bullish report driven by the sharp drop in placements, which could leave Fed cattle supplies notably tighter from February through April. Analysts are highlighting the heifer ratio at 38%, signaling fewer females being held back for herd rebuilding. In labor news, the Steering Committee for the Agriculture Workforce Coalition, a broad-based coalition of agriculture groups seeking meaningful long-term labor reform, unanimously elected American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval and Western Growers President and CEO Dave Pugula as the new co-chairs of the coalition. They said they will continue to work with Congress and appointed officials to make sure farmers and ranchers have adequate labor supplies to make sure the nation is clothed and fed. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, this is very cool. I was checking my email during the break there, and one of my favorite legal immigrants that lives here in Montana is actually going to join us tomorrow on the show, Dr. Mehrdad Kia. He escaped Iran just before the Ayatollah terrorist regime took over, and just fascinating insight on the Middle East, on Iran, and everything that we have seen going on over the past several months. It's going to be great to catch up with Dr. Mehrdad Kia. That'll be tomorrow on the show. Here statewide, 9 to 10. We'll be taking your calls and more for that. I just scribbled down a few different topics I want to get to here this morning. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins says that an aid package is in the works for our farmers. You look at this trade, this massive trade deficit that Joe Biden brought to this country. You look at the massive spike in costs, especially hitting our farmers and ranchers during the Joe Biden years. Trump's trying to clean it all up, and he's working on better trade deals so that we don't import farm products like we did under the Joe Biden years, and so that we get better trade deals in. But in the meantime, they're going to be apparently rolling out another farm aid package, maybe as early as next week. So I want to get into that story. But first, John, we were talking about the Kami Mamdani meeting at the Oval Office with President Trump. Kellyanne Conway, the great pollster Kellyanne Conway, was on The Five yesterday. She said she doesn't think Mamdani should have showed up at the Oval Office. She thinks Mamdani lost all credibility because he did show up with and meet with President Trump after basically calling him all these names and more.
But I think Mamdani would have done better saying no to the meeting. He's reduced some of his credibility among the folks who basically are addled with Trump derangement syndrome and essentially look at Trump and say, the more that he enrages me, the less I should engage him. And Mamdani did the opposite here. I hope they can work together for the good of New York and the good of the country. Trump is not someone who goes by what you say. He's someone who goes by what you do. And this guy didn't even take the reins yet. I have something else here. Imagine if Mamdani had gone in there and said, look, I disagree with things you're doing. Here are the names of the people who have been abducted by ICE and deported unfairly. He did nothing like that. He looked totally cowed and charmed to be there. And you know why that is? Everybody does. If you really wanted to make Donald Trump irrelevant and wish him away, you would ignore him. I have never encountered anyone in 10 years of being of the Trump era who can actually ignore Donald Trump. He has a gravitational pull. He is a magnetic field. Putin comes to Alaska. 2-3 days later, all of Western Europe is there. All of NATO is in the Oval Office. As Sheba comes from, Carney comes. The guy in Starmer comes. All these new leaders come right to the Oval. And Zoran Mamdani did the same thing, exactly what a lot of his voters think he should have done and that they would never do because they don't like Trump, and he does.
All right. So, John, I know you were able to hear parts of that, but, yeah, your thoughts on – like, basically, yeah, he and the left, they had these No Kings protests. They said how awful Trump is, and he's basically a fascist, this and that. And now, just standing there like he's ready to serve chai to Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, that was the difference. You see that in name a major national Democrat leader. You just go down the list from Chuck U. Schumer to bargain basement Obama, Hakeem Jeffries, just name them off. None of these people would go meet with Donald Trump. And if they did, they would use it as a platform to try to, curse him out, embarrass him, make a big spectacle of it. They did this in Trump's first term. You remember Schumer and Pelosi went in there and turned that into a Adam Schiff show, right? But you saw Mamdani went in there and bent the knee. He kissed the ring.
All right. Well, you guys know me. We love taking your phone calls. That's really the best part of this show. But, and it looks like my VPN might be working again now. So I'll see if I can get it up and rolling here so we can go back to our normal phone lines here. We'll see. But I always want to get creative. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to call Tamara in Billings and conference her into the conversation. So hopefully I don't screw up the technology here. But Tamara, I think you're on the phone lines with us now. Tamara, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I am. So I know Tam, I think it was from Billings, called, and he's getting disappointed. And Trump, He's the best at the art of the deal. He's the best at 5D chess. He spent his first 4 years learning from his mistakes. He spent the next 4 years building his team. He's even got some billionaires in the background and other people in the background who probably never know their names to help him out. He doesn't trust Netanyahu. I don't even think he trusts his son-in-law completely, Jared Kushner. I think they butted heads the first 4 years. And then you saw Ivanka and Jared bow out in Miami, never gave a public interview since. So people don't mention enough about the deep state players, the globalists, the rhinos that are undermining everything. Trump knows stuff we don't know. And got to be patient. It's been mentioned that it's going to take 12 years. So people got to continue to trust what he's doing. And I know Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, who else? Somebody else. They're bringing up good points. I think, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're bringing up good points. Just not doing it quite the right way. And it's hurting them. Matt Gaetz, on the other hand, he's learned how to bring up these deep state players, and he works for OAN now, and he's doing a very good job. He's a quick learner. So we just need to be patient and let Trump do his thing.
Yeah, and I get why people, you know, look, there's so much that needs to be fixed. And Tamara, thank you so much for the call. And if you don't mind hanging up so I can get to another caller here, and then that way I hopefully don't hang up on John at the same time, that would be great. But I appreciate hearing your thoughts here. Let me do one thing real fast here. But the other thing is that one of my pet peeves is, you know, is there a uniparty of folks that are doing everything they can to undermine Trump and undermine the conservative majority that voters sent to Washington, D.C.? Yes. But let's also be honest. There is another uniparty out there that complains about everything and never wants to focus on all of the positive achievements and the accomplishments that are coming from President Trump and from the Republican Congress right now. And if you ask me, how is that any different than the other uniparty that is colluding with the Democrats to undermine the America First agenda? Because if all you're doing is complaining about everything that you don't see happening and never positing on the positive that's happening, you're just basically handing the country right back to the very people that allowed this invasion, this treasonous invasion of the country to take place in the first place. John Jackson, your thoughts?
Yeah, we saw Trump's entire first term stolen from him, stolen from the American people. And now I think people that are really paying attention are just, by God, determined that's not going to happen again. So that's why we are not sitting back and being patient and being tolerant and trust the plan and all this stuff. No, we are demanding stuff be happening from Pam Bondi and from Cash Patel and from these different people very, very quickly in short order. And if we don't see it, then we're upset with that. I tell you, Aaron, it's like right here in Montana, imagine building a cabin out in the middle of the woods. Well, you have a wolf pack that you know is out there and is going to be nipping at you and attacking you every single day as you try to build this cabin. Well, what do we have to do very right out of the gate, Aaron? We have to kill these wolves before we can ever really start the construction of our cabin. Okay, that's what we don't see happening right here. I see the wolves out there being allowed to consistently attack and nip at us. And until we knock them down, we're never going to get this cabin built.
All I heard was kill wolves and amen. Amen. Kill the wolves. That's what everybody's thinking, I think, out there. That's great. Well said. And that's exactly why, you know, young 20-year-old Finley and I yesterday had this debate about, you know, hey, we may not want to do away with the filibuster, but it is time to save America. And how else are we going to get anything done? Because you just watch as the Democrats once again shut the government down and bring everything to a halt once again at the end of January. And that's exactly why Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is calling on on Senate Republicans that if that happens again at the end of January, they should immediately abrogate the filibuster. John, we got 30 seconds before the break. Your thoughts?
Well, God forbid, they might not, the Democrats might not have to, because it's being leaked that there's some plan out of the White House to give the Democrats what they wanted all along, was another Obamacare bailout. I mean, God help us if that's true. I hope that it's just something being floated out and it's going to get killed real quick.
That's why I always wait a few days whenever I see reports like that, because it usually blows up within 24 to 48.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so real quick here as we jump back into it. First off, it looks like we do have our VPN connection restored, so you should be able to call in, if not right now, in a second or so. 406-294-0970. I know we had several callers who called in. I was going to try to give a ring to as well. I think Vince in Billings, John in Kalispell, and some others. Stand by. Our producer, Caden, may call you, or you can call the studio number, 406-294-0970. Semper Gumby, always flexible in live statewide talk radio. Let's see. I mentioned earlier that Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins was on with Brian Kilmeade yesterday, and she says another aid package is coming for our nation's farmers, and it may start rolling out as soon as next week. They're still working on the various formulas and things like that, but she understands how important this is as President Trump works to fix the mess that Joe Biden left in his wake.
When we talk about our farmers, this is the backbone of America, right? This is the pioneer spirit that made this country so great. Only 2 of every 10 years do farmers actually make money. And that's an astonishing number. Any other business, you know, you wouldn't have a lot of people stick around, but these men and women are so, they just feel this righteous work to feed and fuel the country is so important. Then you combine that with the years under Joe Biden, with the cost of inputs, interest rates went up 73%. Labor, 47%, fuel, 35%. Then there were no new trade deals in those 4 years under Joe Biden. We went from a surplus of agriculture trade under Trump 1 to a deficit, a $50 billion deficit. So we're in this perfect storm, and that's what the president is committed to solving.
All right. And, I mentioned with John earlier that I was at the Farm Expo in Plentywood when we heard from the Montana grain growers about how America, for the first time ever, became a net importer of farm products during Joe Biden's administration. Let's jump into it. Yeah, our phone lines are up and running. We've got Vince in Billings on the line. Vince, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, actually, Aaron, I'm out towards Pompey's Pillar, and what a beautiful day. And I just wanted to, we got Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. And then the saddest weekend of the year is coming up, the end of general hunting season. So, kill the wolves. But if you haven't got your deer, you need to get out and be courteous to your landowners. Being a landowner, you and I have talked about my family ranch that I'm very fortunate to be the steward of right now. But I've heard so many stories about hunters this year not being as courteous as they really could be, and so us landowners that welcome you out there, please keep in mind that we're trying to do our best to have you guys have a place to hunt. So I just wanted to remind everybody of that. Did you get your deer, Aaron?
Not yet. I might have to wait for a shoulder season elk hunt myself. It's, when your kids are in sports, it's like, holy cow, it's a busy time of year. That just, I think one of the kids will get out this weekend here before it's all done, or maybe Friday. But, I might have to wait till the shoulder season myself. But I kind of like the shoulder season because then everybody and their freaking brother, isn't out there, you know, fighting over how to get someplace, right?
Right, exactly. I was really fortunate this year. I had a great young man, and I'm talking, you talk about polite manners, young kid, first antelope, and I took time to take him and his dad out and go, and he got his first antelope. He had a nice 14-inch buck, beautiful shot. That was more fun than me ever, anything I've ever hunted and shot, being able to see that. So, yeah, hunt with your youth. It's so fun.
It really is. It really is. One of my now favorite hunting trips was it was just me and, you know, three, you know, teenage boys essentially out hunting elk, and we came away with one, and man, it was so fun. But, I would slightly disagree with you, Vince. We don't need to encourage more people to get out there and hunt. If they don't want to go, that's okay. More for the rest of us. That's okay. You know.
It's such a rite of passage. I mean, it's not getting the animal. It's the being out in nature and seeing what God has given us and knowing that we're here such a short time. And just being so blessed to be in Montana, in this area. I mean, Aaron, we have antelope, we have deer, we have elk. We get to go coyote hunting, prairie dogs. We get to spend time with our families doing this.
And sometimes, Vince, isn't it? Yeah, maybe out there in Ingemar, although I don't know. Sometimes, Vince, isn't it funny? It's so great being out there and hiking around and walking around and getting that deer or seeing your kid get that deer. But then, isn't it funny how sometimes the best part of the entire trip is talking about it on the drive home with your kids? I've always found that can be some of the best part of the trip is the time spent talking to one another afterwards, after you get the deer. Vince, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. John Jackson, thanks for your time as well. Happy Thanksgiving. And I think you're going to be in on Friday for a special Black Friday with the Joker, I think, right?
I think so. Talking to Caden, see what he wants to do. But if he wants me there, I'm there.
Hey, it'll be a good show one way or another. All right.
The holidays